Everyone here tonight, I'm thankful for those worship songs tonight. It's really a good preparation for our message tonight. We've been in Psalm 119, and so we're going to go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As we get started tonight, I want to ask you a personal question for you to think about. And that is this. What is the greatest desire of your heart? What is the greatest desire of your heart? You know, we all want something. We all desire something. We all have aspirations. Our heart is set on something. And so let's ask the Lord to search our hearts tonight and try us, and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight with this section of Scripture. We're looking at this eighth section in Psalm 119. It begins in verse 57 and goes through verse 64. It's called the Heth section, or Cheth section. The eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this section is all about what your heart is set on, what your heart desires. And I just want to say tonight that God cares about what our heart desires, because He cares for us. He really does. He desires us, for us to desire Him, because He knows that's for our own good. How many of you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I hope that you read the Bible reading this morning. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you didn't, you should take some time tonight before you go to bed. A great, great chapter. And there's two verses that just really stood out to me that really speak to what we're going to be talking about tonight. And that is verse 12 and 13. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But in Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13, this is what Moses told the children of Israel. He said, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day." Now notice these last three words: "for thy good." You know, sometimes we view God as not for us. We view God as, you know, out to get us, or we may think that God's desires for us is not for our good. But I want you to understand tonight, God is for us. And everything that He does is for our good and for His glory. And I just loved when I read that. God just wants us to love Him with our whole heart, because it's for our own good. But we're going to read our text tonight in Psalm 119. And this section begins with David's aspiration. Those first four words: "Thou art my portion, O Lord." And that's going to be the title of our message tonight. "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." David says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you so much for this precious time that you've given us to gather as your body tonight to worship, to gather to give you thanks and praise for the beautiful weather that we've enjoyed this week. Today was just so beautiful with no wind. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you that we can gather here tonight around your word and to be challenged. We ask your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts tonight. You know our needs. And Lord, I'm thankful that all that you command of us is for our good. It's profitable for us. It's good for us. And Lord, I'm thankful that what we're about to look at is good. And Lord, I pray you'd bless your word and speak. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This word portion, I want to explain it. It means an inheritance or possession, a territory or share. So when David says the Lord is my portion, he's saying the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my possession. He's my territory. This is real estate language. When he uses the word portion, it's another word for portion would be the word lot. You know, like a lot of land. Like this, I own this lot, this portion of land. It was used in the book of Joshua in chapter 13 through 21 when Joshua was apportioning off the land of promise for the 12 tribes of Israel. And you know that they did not really get a choice in what was apportioned to them. Except for one person that I know of in Joshua chapter 14 verses 6 through 14 there, Caleb. He told Joshua, he said, you remember, I asked the Lord to give me this mountain and all that my feet have trodden upon, Moses promised that I could have it. And so I thought that was neat that Caleb, because he wholly followed the Lord, God gave him the portion of land that he desired and that he wanted. But as far as everybody else, it was portioned out to them. And we know that only the Levites didn't get a portion of land. And if you also read in Deuteronomy 10 today, you would have read that their portion was the Lord himself. And so they didn't get any land, but they got the Lord. And I was just thinking about, to help you understand this word, that we typically will use something that we will say something like this. Well, this is just my lot in life. Have you heard, how many of you heard that? My lot in life. So you kind of know what it means. It kind of refers to our situation in life, whether it's good or bad. Sometimes it seems like it more refers to something bad. Well, this is just my lot in life. You know, and we use it in a bad sense a lot of times. It could be our appearance, our disabilities, our parents, our country of birth, whatever. It's our lot in life. It was chosen for us. We didn't have a choice. It's our inheritance. And so we use it in that sense. I want to share a quote with you I thought was really good in regard to that. We don't always get to choose our situations, but we can choose how we live through them. I thought that was good. We don't always get to choose our situations in life. And young people, you don't always get to choose your situations. I mean, things happen and you don't always get to choose it, but you can choose how you live through them. And I would add, you can choose with whom you live through them. And we're going to look at that tonight. As David spoke in our text, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." What David is saying here, he is choosing. He's making a choice. He is choosing the Lord as his inheritance, as his portion. David is basically saying here that his greatest desire is for the Lord to be his only inheritance. For the Lord to be his greatest portion in life, the greatest treasure of his heart, David wants nothing more than a deep and intimate relationship with the Lord. That's what he's stating here. When he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," he is stating, "God, you are my all in all. You are all I want." And he's expressing his aspiration, his desire for the Lord to be his portion in life. Asaph, he wrote in Psalm 73:26. I'm going to put it on the screen here. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You're going to find other places. I'm just using this as another example, but there's other places where the writer would say, "The Lord is my portion." And here he's talking about, you know, even if my flesh and my heart fail, God is my strength. He's my portion. He's the strength of my heart. He's my portion. And I want to just say tonight, if God is your portion, you don't need anything else. You know, our flesh and our heart may fail, but God is our strength. He's the strength of our heart. I'm so thankful for that. He's our all in all. He's our sufficiency. And I had a chance to listen to half of Tim's message last week, and then I got busy. I got to watch the other half, but it was very good. And I happened to even, I was talking to a pastor today, and we were talking, and he was kind of discouraged, and I was trying to encourage him, and I said, and he listens to a lot of our services, and I said, "Go and listen to last Wednesday night." And so this afternoon, Brother Tim, he said that was a great encouragement and challenge to his heart. And so that was good. And I was gonna say that what David is saying here is that it's kind of like one of Tim's disciples shared when they studied 2 Corinthians 12:9. "He is my enoughness." When I thought about it, that pretty much captures what David's saying here, that God is my portion. He's my sufficiency. He's my enoughness. He's all I need. He's my inheritance. He's my inheritance. He's declaring that he's content with all that the Lord is and all that the Lord provides, that he is the best inheritance imaginable, and he doesn't seek anything else, any other inheritance outside of God. David is basically saying riches, honor, friends, fame, and some of those things, young people, that's what a lot of your friends are looking for, is that to be the most popular and to be liked and wanted and all that. But listen, there's nothing greater than having Jesus as your portion. Nothing greater than that. You know, it goes with our theme. Jesus is so much better. He's so much better than anything else. He is so good. He should be the greatest desire of our hearts, our greatest treasure, our portion tonight. And that is the challenge of this section of Scripture. It challenges us to make the Lord himself the greatest desire of our heart, the portion, the inheritance of our heart. And there's two truths about this statement I want to look at tonight. "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Just two very simple truths. We're going to make this short tonight. The first truth is this is a statement of reality. It's a statement of reality. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you are a born-again believer, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've trusted Him, then this truth is a reality for you. The Lord is your inheritance. Think about it. I think of a couple of verses. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. In Romans 8, he says in verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Notice this, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What is the word heir? It means you inherit an heir of God. And I think of Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so when we get saved, we inherit Jesus. He comes and lives within us, and he's our inheritance. And I want to say tonight that the greatest gift that God has given you at salvation is not forgiveness. The greatest gift that he has given you is himself. That's the reality. When you get saved, the greatest gift at salvation is God giving himself to you. That's just an awesome thought to think about. He forgives you so that he can give you himself. The forgiveness is so that we can commune with him, so that we can enjoy fellowship with him, so that we can walk with him. You know, the ultimate goal of salvation is so we can enjoy our God and enjoy being his people. Jeremiah 24:7, he says, "And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord." Now he's talking about his redeemed people, those that come into this new covenant, which speaks of us when we get saved. "I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." You know, this thought of, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I think about that truth that God gives us the gift of himself to enjoy him. He is our portion. If you are saved, this is a statement of reality. This is a statement of fact that he is your portion. But I want you to see second tonight, this is a statement of aspiration. A statement of aspiration. When David says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," he's expressing a spiritual aspiration. He doesn't want anything else to occupy his heart as the ultimate object of his affection. He wants God to be at the very heart of his heart's affection. He wants God to be his ultimate desire. He wants God to be his ultimate portion, his inheritance, his reward. And so this is a statement of desire, a statement of aspiration. He is saying, "The Lord is all I want." That's what he's saying. The Lord is well worth living for. The Lord is my aspiration. That's what David's saying. You know, tonight we who are saved, we can rejoice in the fact that God has given himself to us. But let's ask ourselves tonight, is it our aspiration for him to be our portion? There is a difference. He gives himself to us. That's a truth. That's a reality. But do we desire him? Do we want him? Do we make him at the very deepest affection of our hearts? Is it him? Is he the one that is our enoughness? Is he the one that is our sufficiency? You know, I'm sure most all of us here tonight, that even though the Lord has given himself to us, we struggle at times in wanting something else. I mean, let's be honest. We got to be honest about this. There are times that we think that there's greater satisfaction somewhere else. I want you to think about when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And when the serpent came and tempted Eve. And he asked her, "Yea, had God said, and ye eat of all the trees of the fruit of the garden?" And she went on and told him what God had said. And then he said, "Well, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In other words, the serpent was saying to the woman, you will find blessing outside of God that He has withheld from you. And if you will disobey Him, you can have it. I want you to think about that. That's how sin plays out in our life over and over and over. Every time we sin, we think that by disobeying God, that we can find a greater satisfaction than we can find in God Himself. We think that by doing it our way, we can find more satisfaction than doing it God's way, than by obeying God. It's a root sin, and it plays itself out in just about every sin that we commit against God. We're saying, God, you're not sufficient. You're not enough. I need something more. I need something different. And we're not going to have time to expound this section, but I just want to say that the rest of this section is essentially teaching that if you are a person who can honestly say, Thou art my portion, O Lord, then you will treasure His word. You will love His word. You will obey His word, because that's what the rest of it's all about. He says in verse 57, I have said that I would keep Thy words. Why would He keep His words? Why would He obey His words? Because the Lord was His portion. The Lord was His all in all. Why would He, in verse 58, entreat His favor with His whole heart? And why would He ask the Lord to be merciful and be according to Thy word? It's because the Lord was His portion. That's why He went to pray. Entreat means to pray to the Lord and ask of the Lord His favor. Why would He say, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies? Why would He stop and think about the way that He was walking and to think about God's testimony? It's because the Lord was His portion. Why would He say in verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep Thy commandments? Why was He quick to obey God? Because the Lord was His portion. The bands of the wicked, He said, have robbed me, but I have not forgotten the law. Even though He went through persecution and trials, because the Lord was His portion, He said, I haven't forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. I mean, who gets up at midnight to worship? The one who makes the Lord his portion. They wake up praising God in the middle of the night for His righteous judgment. He said, I'm a companion of all them that fear Thee and of them that keep Thy precepts. Why did He love other people that love God? Because the Lord was His portion. He wanted to be around God's people. He wanted to fellowship with others that walked with God. Others that had the same desire in their hearts. He wanted to walk with peers that loved the Lord. He said, the earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes. Why would He want God to teach him? Well, because the Lord was His portion. He was His portion. He was the one He treasured. So those who treasure the Lord treasure His word. You know, when you meet a Christian or someone who professes to be a Christian, let's say that they love the Lord, but they don't treasure His word. They don't obey His word. We know something's wrong. We know something's wrong. And something that's wrong is not that it's not with God. It's not with His word. It's with their heart. And so we need to ask ourselves tonight, if you're saved, it's a reality. The Lord is your portion. He's your inheritance. He dwells in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about that. God gave you salvation, forgiveness, so that He could give you Himself. But what do you desire? What is your heart desire tonight? Does your heart desire the Lord? Do you desire the Lord as your greatest desire? I have to say that's a challenging question. I had to ask myself that question. I really did. I had to ask myself. And I know at times, sometimes I come short. I ask the Lord, forgive me. Help me to make Him my portion, the portion of my heart. There's a second question. Can you honestly say that Jesus is your enoughness? Is He your sufficiency? Is He your all in all? That's what David's saying here tonight. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Thou art my portion. My prayer that this would be our desire. That we would be challenged tonight by David's heart. His heart for God. Remember, this is a man after God's own heart. That we would be challenged by this to make the Lord our portion, the portion of our heart. That we would not settle for anything less because Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Let's treasure Him. Let's love Him. You know, when I read those verses in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, I put my name in where it says Israel. And now, Johnny, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? I made it personal that all He desires of me, all He asks of me is to fear Him. To walk in His ways, to love Him, serve Him with all of my heart and all my soul. To keep His commandments. And He says, for thy good. It's for my good. Because He knows that when we go our own way, that it's not good. It's not good for us. It's not good for Him in His glory. I'm going to transition into prayer right now, and then we've got a special announcement in prayer time tonight. I want to spend some time in prayer as a church. So let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your Word tonight and how Your Word speaks, how it's living. And powerful. How it's sharper than any two-edged sword. How it pierces down to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God, Your Word penetrates deep into our hearts and soul. It challenges us. It exposes us. God, this statement by David, Thou art my portion, O Lord. He is expressing his heart's desire, his aspiration that he wants You to be his all in all. He wants You to be his only inheritance. He wants You to be his greatest treasure in life. And God, as we search our hearts, and ask ourselves, what is the desire of our hearts? I pray that we'd be challenged with this scripture tonight. That we would also aspire to, like David, to say, Thou art my portion, O Lord. That we would desire You with all of our heart. That we would seek You with our whole heart. That we would love You and serve You with our whole heart. God, please help us tonight. Please help us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.